Good morning. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Hooten, Judge Smith, Judge Flaskamp Hallbricks, the Honorable Carol Hooten presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. This morning, we will be handling three matters orally and two non-orally. And counsel, you each have 15 minutes for your oral argument. I would ask that you introduce yourself and identify your client at the beginning of your argument. The first matter is in re SSTS Soil Dispute Resolution, and the file number is A210195. And counsel for the appellant may proceed at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Aaron White. I'm an attorney and represent Merle and Laura Maurer, who are the current owners of Maurer Properties, LLC, and Fish Lake Resort and Campground, which are collectively relators in this matter. We're here today because of a township's failure to follow the prescribed method for resolving disputes relating to the periodically saturated soils of a septic system's drain field. Dispute in question arose between conflicting documents concerning the soils of the Fish Lake Resort septic system created by Amy Thompson of AT Septic Inspection Design and Robert Whitmire of Matrix Soils and Systems. It is relator's position that this dispute has yet to be properly resolved under Minnesota Rule 782-0700 subpart 5A.
Could I ask you before we proceed, is the only issue that we're reviewing and the only decision we're reviewing is with regard to the soil borings? Am I correct on that?
No, Your Honor. The questions are to whether or not jurisdictional elements were properly met.
Well, and I understand that, but if we deal with the jurisdictional issue, if we do have jurisdiction to decide this case, is the only issue the soil borings? Am I correct on that?
Well, in addition, it would be whether or not they followed the procedures prescribed under 782-0700 subpart 5A4, which would require that they consider certain documentations and provide certain responses within their final conclusion. The ultimate question as to whether or not which one soil boring is correct over another would be something that this court would need to consider. But it's overall the procedure that was followed for the township to reach its ultimate conclusion.
Because I know you're in your briefing, you make an argument that they didn't consider the full reports of AT and the other reports in the case, but they only looked at the soil borings. Why was that the failure to refer to those reports? You know, I don't think there's any issue. They referred to the soil borings, but the fact that they didn't refer to any of the reports, why would that matter here? I mean, why would it make this decision that they made arbitrary and capricious?
So under subpart 5A4, the township is required to consider all initial and follow-up documents that were submitted to the township. So this would not include simply the soil borings that created the dispute. It would include all follow-up documents that were submitted related to the dispute resolution process. Those documents are important for determining jurisdiction because it establishes that the parties were unable to reach a conclusion on their own and through a third party opinion. In addition, it outlines where the parties sit and essentially shows the ultimate decision that the township is going to need to come to.
Well, if I understand and help me understand this, because as I understand it, the agency rejected the AT boring because they said it was done during winter when there was snow. Are you arguing that they did not have the authority to reject that?
Your Honor, what I'm saying is, while they may have the authority to reject it, they did not provide an explanation as to why soil boring taken in winter while soils may have been frozen does not meet the regulatory standard. Essentially, what the township produced was a resolution, which is their conclusion, and they produced a findings of fact, which provides the information that they used to come to their conclusion, but they did not provide findings setting forth the reasons for their ultimate decision.
Well, they also said that they didn't think it was taken in the right place.
Again, Your Honor, they didn't explain why a measurement taken outside of the drain field, which the findings of fact state that the measurement was taken outside of the drain field, but within 5 feet, doesn't meet the regulation described under 780-1500 subpart 4F, which simply says that the measurement must be taken outside the area of influence, but within an area of similar soil. So essentially, the township has not explained why the soil boring taken by AT Septic doesn't meet the regulation. And that's a component that they're required to provide as outlined by the regulation.
And I guess as a follow-up question, since we're talking about soil borings, I know that one of the reasons you're giving for the that this was jurisdictionally inappropriately handled by the agency, that they didn't have jurisdiction, was the qualifications of the inspector. How would those qualifications make it inappropriate for him to render an opinion on soil borings?
As outlined under,
because the issue isn't whether the capacity of the sewer system was large enough. It was just whether it met the requirements for the soil, as determined by the soil borings. Because you would need that no matter what size sewer you would have, right?
So under the regulation, it's very clear that there's a separation with regard to septic system size. Under 783-750, it limits it to anybody who doesn't have an advanced inspector qualification is limited to inspecting septic system sizes that have a daily flow rate less than 2,500 gallons per day. And that's consistent throughout pretty much every qualification standard, that there is this limit. So it's even if he has the qualifications to understand what a soil horizon or a soil boring looks like, he's limited under the regulation to only offering opinions on septic systems that have a daily flow rate of 2,500 gallons per day or less.
Mr. White, this record does not really pin down the size of this, does it? I know you've got the photograph, you've made a calculation, but that is not anything that has been defined in the record. Am I correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. And that would be a failure of the township to determine whether or not they had a qualified employee under the regulation. Now, under Minnesota Rule 783-1010, it states that qualified employees must be certified with the specialty area certifications applicable to the work being conducted. Now, Mr. Winterfield is the only employee that employed by Arthur Township that has an SSTS certification, and his certification limits him to offering opinions on septic systems with a flow rate of less than 2,500 gallons per day. And because he has that limitation, he was not eligible to offer an opinion, and thus procedure under 5A3 was not completed properly. And therefore, in order for the township to have jurisdiction to offer an opinion, the parties needed to have failed to come to a resolution under 5A3. Because they failed to come to a resolution under 5A3, the township did not have authority to offer a final opinion as to the soil separation on site.
Was the issue of Mr. Is it Winterfield? Yes. His qualifications, was that raised earlier before the township?
It was not raised before the township. And in all honesty, Your Honor, the parties were not provided with adequate notification that the matter will be presented to them. Mr. Winterfield, in his letter that's within the record on page 277, simply states that a full final report would be submitted to the township without any indication that it would be taken up at the next meeting. Most likely, his qualifications would have been brought up had parties been available to answer any questions. Discussing with parties over this matter, his qualifications had been brought up to him prior to this resolution process. So I believe that had parties been available during December 14th township meeting, that question would have been raised.
Is there anything else you want to argue?
In addition, there's some confusion over JB Inspections' connection to being a party in this matter. 782.0705A states that if there are competing documents as to compliance or design purposes that parties must meet in order to resolve those issues. JB Inspections did not have a certificate of compliance that was within good standards. Under 780.0703G, a certificate of compliance is only good for 5 years. JB Inspections soil boring is from 2008, so the certificate of compliance that it would have been connected to has expired. So they would not be considered a party in this matter. And even looking again at Mr. Winterfield's letter, he does not list JB Inspections as a party within this, simply as a he simply used their soil boring from 2008 to come to his ultimate conclusion.
Well, could I go back to one of your prior arguments, because I'm looking at your addendum, and on page one it's the SSTS soil dispute resolution. And there's a resolution there that was adopted apparently by the town board that whereas the parties met on site, with the exception of JB Inspections, to make an attempt to resolve their differences. And the opinion of Arthur Township SST certified inspector was requested, obtained, and distributed to the parties. Why wouldn't that satisfy the requirement that they meet to resolve their differences?
Could you rephrase your question, Your Honor?
Well, I'm just reading it, and it says there was a meeting of the parties to make an attempt to resolve their differences. That's according to the resolution, and that the opinion of Arthur Township SST certified inspector was requested, obtained, and distributed to the parties. So there was a meeting, and the town board obviously recognized that meeting. Why wouldn't that be sufficient to satisfy any jurisdictional prerequisites that you are raising here?
Your Honor, relators do not dispute that a meeting didn't occur. A meeting did occur, and the parties were unable to resolve their dispute through that. But the documents that the township used in order to come to their ultimate conclusion did not reflect that a meeting, in fact, occurred. So for basing the decision that the township came to solely on the documents that were submitted to them, they could not conclude that, in fact, a meeting did occur and that parties were unable to resolve their differences at that meeting.
Are you denying that they did attempt to meet and did attempt to resolve their differences?
No, Your Honor, they in fact did meet and they did attempt to, but the documents contained within the record do not reflect that they did. And that's a question for jurisdiction that they should have reviewed. Did the parties in fact meet? Did the parties in fact fail to meet? And by not including the documents that were produced from the resolution process on November 20th, the township was unable, really did not have the evidence to support that the procedural steps took place.
Well, and I guess I'm not understanding, because apparently on December the 14th, they thought the parties had met and they made a resolution to that effect, that they had met and they had tried to resolve their differences.
And they were basing that decision based off of Mr. Winterfield's letter to the township, letter to the parties, which is, again, on page 277. But again, there was no documents to support what he stated. And the documents would have come from the documents that were submitted from Matrix, from AT Septic, which was a notice of noncompliance, and from a letter from Septic Check that all stated that the parties did meet. And those documents were not considered. They should have been considered, but were left out of the record. And by leaving them out of the record, effectively, they made that the process of meeting on site to resolve their differences unnecessary. And the regulation requires that that parties meet on site, that the parties try to resolve their issues. And without that, essentially what the township has done is made those two first two steps unnecessary, which is against what the regulation requires. The regulation requires good faith efforts to resolve their differences without needing to go to a body.
Council, if the board had considered the documents, if they were in the record and they had considered them, would they have come to any different conclusion with respect to that paragraph 3 of the resolution? In other words, are you arguing that had they reviewed them, they could not have decided that the parties met on site with the exception of blah, 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 to make an attempt to resolve their differences?
Your Honor, I see my time has expired. Is it okay if I answer your question?
Yes, you may.
So they would have been able to come. They would have been able to come to the conclusion that parties met on site. They would have been able to come to the conclusion that the parties failed to meet a resolution. They probably would not have been able to figure out whether or not Mr. Winterfield's opinion resolved the dispute between the parties. I won't go as far to speculate as to whether or not their ultimate decision would be different. But I believe a conversation about the soil boring that was produced on November 20th, 2020 would have been conducted. And that soil boring showed that the soil separations did not meet the regulation. And that's a really important thing to note, is there is a soil boring that was produced on November 20th of 2020 that was never considered.
All right. Can I just ask you this question? I mean, you're not denying on appeal here that they met in an attempt to resolve their differences. Am I correct?
That is correct.
All right. So basically what I guess I want to understand your argument. So your argument is what then? You're not denying that it happened. They found that it happened. So what's the problem?
The record is insufficient to support that. It's a procedural issue. That based on the record that was presented to the township, they could not have seen that the first two steps in the resolution process were met.
But they're acknowledging as part of their resolution that they were met.
But the record doesn't.
There had to be some information somewhere for them to come up with that resolution. And you're saying the facts are correct.
The ultimate facts are correct, Your Honor. But based on the record that was presented to them, to answer the jurisdictional question, the record is insufficient.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. You'll get 5 minutes for a rebuttal. All right. The respondent may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is, and counsel, my name is Jessica Shui. I represent the township in this matter. Your Honors have correctly identified the issues through your questioning. This was a very limited and narrow question put before the town. Were soil separation minimum requirements met? This is a separate provision in the regulations to protect groundwater.
And I know your briefing kind of got to this. Could you explain exactly when they're doing these soil borings, what are they looking for in layman's terms?
Yeah, they're looking for the type of soil in particular, for example, sand. Sand is more porous, and so human effluent can end up contaminating groundwater. So it's important that testing be done outside of what I'll call modeled areas where there's mixture of water and soil. so that we have a clearer and correct determination of what type of soil is at issue to make sure that a septic system should be, can it even be in a particular location and how far does it have to be from that location based upon the type of soil at issue? Does that sufficiently answer your question?
Well, here they made two determinations with regard to the AT soil boring. One was that the boring number one was done in the winter, and number two that it was done in the wrong place. Because they don't explain that. They make the two observations, but I think it's
fair to say that they don't explain it further other than to say it's an invalid test because it's not outside the area of influence. And that matches regulation language, is that to be a valid test, it has to be outside of the area of influence.
Are we talking about the drain fill of a sewer system?
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. So it has to be outside the drain fill. Otherwise, you're obviously going to get a test where you're going to find some, influence?
Right, or a false positive.
Okay.
You know, it would be another colloquial way of referring to it.
So the main thing is you want to make sure it's not flowing outside the perimeter of the drain field. Am I correct? Is that really what we're talking about here?
That's true, but I would say that's not really what we're talking about here because we're trying to make, and the reason why I'm being careful on that is there is in the record, and there was some discussion and argument about that there was obvious effluent running from the site at one point in time. And we put before the court that issue is not properly before the court because that was not the narrow issue that was addressed. And extra record, I can tell you that issue is being addressed separately because it's a separate issue. This issue is solely soil separation minimums, very narrow, very limited, and that issue is decided by soil borings, that there was the four soil borings. Out of the four soil borings, the town was not willing to consider ATs because it was inappropriately taken. Because it was inside the area of influence and not outside the area of influence as required by regulations, would be the nutshell.
How do you respond to the appellant's argument or the relator's argument that this wasn't explained in the decision?
Well,
or adequately explained as to why the fact it was taken in winter and the fact it was taken. Apparently not in the appropriate location.
This is how I would say the town's acting in a quasi-judicial status, but it's not sophisticated lawyers and judges rendering a decision. They did use the language of the rules and what they're familiar with, which is to say, we're rejecting the test because it's not outside the area of influence. So there is that limited explanation, and it matches with the regulation. Could there have been a couple of additional sentences and that would help inform all of us today? I think, potentially yes. But is that an error, a reversible error for this court? And number one, I think the answer is no. And two, this goes more to the question that Judge Smith asked. Even if we, for example, had considered the documents that relators are suggesting the town should have considered, what difference would that have had on the outcome? How does that change the soil separation decision? And I didn't hear that there was any change to that decision. It doesn't alter the determination that soil separation minimums were met, that it is compliant in that regard.
Can I ask counsel with respect to the determination that the AT inspections boring is not an accurate description of outside the area of influence that where we're just talking about, maybe they could have given more explanation, et cetera. All right. Is that determination, whether it's fully explained or I'll just say fully explained, whether it's, is it supported by the record? In other words, is it right?
Well, it's supported by the record in this sense. Troy Winterfield indicates, look, I looked at her soil boring log. It does not have written in there the location of, in which it was taken. I have to use a photograph in order to determine it, and it appears to be taken within the area of influence. And I don't, and there is no countervailing evidence in the record. And I'm not aware of any evidence that would come in even at this date to alter that type of conclusion, to say, yes, it was in fact taken in the right location.
And are you suggesting by that comment that just preceded my question that right or wrong, it wouldn't make a difference? Or is that what you're, because I, before when I asked my question that you alluded to, I was talking about the pre, you know, finding a couple paragraphs up. So I just want to understand the impact of the accuracy of that determination.
Okay. If it were determined that the town, that if it were determined that AT's soil boring that was rejected on the basis that it was not properly taken was incorrect, meaning that she actually took it in a proper location, would that potentially change the result? The answer would be yes. I am not aware of those facts existing, particularly in this record, because there was no suggestion that that was an incorrect determination in this record.
So the appellants are not arguing, in your understanding, that that determination is not supported by the record. In other words, it's clearly erroneous factual determination not supported by the record. Is that?
As far as I know, correct, Your Honor. I am not aware of these additional exhibits that are being argued as they should have been considered by the town, that they would have any impact to the determination of whether AT soil boring was properly taken.
Could I ask you about the jurisdictional issue? Because there doesn't seem to be a dispute that the parties did meet on site to make an attempt to resolve their differences. I think the argument is that at the time that the town board considered this issue, they didn't have information. They didn't know that that had taken place, or there's nothing in the record that indicates that that has to take place first before they consider it. I think that's the argument, and Mr. White will expand on that, I'm sure, upon rebuttal. How do you respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor, a couple of things. Jurisdictionally, one, it's clear that there was a meeting on site, and it's clear that the town board knew that there was a meeting on site. And I also have to admit that the additional three documents that Relator is arguing should have been before the town board, they did not go to the town board. SSTS inspector on his own decided that they were not informative of the limited issue that he was deciding and didn't put them before the town board as irrelevant. Okay. And then the last jurisdictional component that I understand to be arguing is that the SSTS Winterfield was not sufficiently qualified. And we did in our briefs, we admitted that he doesn't have the qualifications for, you know, opining on a 2,500 plus system, but we're arguing to the court that that's not the issue. The issue is very, very narrow soil separation minimum requirements and whether the soils, nature and depth of the soils in the area appear to meet those minimum requirements, as the town concluded they did.
Well, what can you point to in the record, though, that would support this resolution that the parties did meet on site and attempt to resolve their differences?
So it's the same letter that opposing counsel referred your honors to. It's stipulated record pages 277 to 278 is the full letter, pages one and two. The first sentence of that letter confirms that the meeting took place and that a resolution couldn't be reached. And then he proceeds to say, here's my resolution.
All right. And when was that provided to the town board?
That letter was dated December 1st, 2020. And it was sent to the owners of the Fish Lake Resort and a CC to the town board, I believe.
Without switching. December 1st?
Yep, on December 1st. And then the meeting, town board meeting was held December 14th.
All right. And that's in the record?
Those, yes.
As to the date that was sent to the town board?
Well, yes, in the sense that it's on the face of the letter, it says the date of the letter, and there's been no challenge on was it actually sent that date or received that type of thing. All right. Your Honors, for the remainder of the argument, I think you fully understand the issues and we've discussed them. I don't have anything further to add and I would rely on our briefs. I think the decision of the town should be upheld. If not, at most, what you would do is reverse the decision of the town with further directions to revisit the issue. And then provide, you know, particularly if you're going to find the SSTS inspector was not sufficiently qualified, it would be appropriate to make a specific conclusion in that regard so that the town would know to proceed with, as necessary to meet the jurisdictional requirements necessary to render a decision in this case. Unless you have any other...
I do have a question, counsel. It's jurisdiction. I was just wondering about the use of the term jurisdiction in this. What is and is not jurisdictional? You seem to acknowledge that if, for example, the expert was not qualified, that's a jurisdictional bar. I'm just wondering where jurisdiction comes in as opposed to just the procedural or other substantive error.
Great. So I would say the jurisdictional component comes in this regard. So it's properly before this court on a writ of certiorari because there is no other appeal mechanism of the town board's decision. Okay, so it's jurisdictionally correct in that first instance.
For us, argument was a town's jurisdiction, right?
Yeah, that's the challenge. Right. And so then when you go to then the next element, did the town properly exercise its jurisdiction? And I would agree that case law supports a conclusion that the town does not properly exercise its jurisdiction if it is relying upon evidence that requires certification that is not present. Okay. Effectively, it would be like a Daubert type argument. Are you relying on an expert that's not qualified to speak to that issue? Which in itself can be a jurisdictional is to a certain degree in that nature, not in the concept of whether this court could properly rule on the issue, or in the case of the town, can the town properly rule on the issue of soil separation minimums? Yes, it can rule on that issue, but it can't do it based upon relying upon someone that doesn't have the proper certifications if those certifications were required in the first instance. I know that there would also be decisions that would say that comes more under arbitrary and capricious as opposed to a jurisdictional type language.
I have a question, Judge Houghton, if I may.
Please go ahead.
Ms. Shui, I am concerned about our court making a determination about the qualifications of Mr. Winterfield based on this record. I mean, what in this record would even enable us to do that?
I don't think there is anything. In our brief, I made it clear to the court that issue was not presented to the town, and it's not before the court. I would effectively argue properly. I will say that his license number was before the court, and Relator chose to pull the state licensing to obtain his, you know, his qualifications on that. It is a public record. But yeah, those things were not before the town, not fully fleshed out and argued. And so I certainly think that the courts could say, look, you had notice and opportunity to be heard on the issue. You had notice that this was going to be presented to the town board. It's a regularly scheduled meeting. You could have showed up and argued it. You didn't. You waived it. I think that could be a potentially correct conclusion of this court.
Thank you.
My time has expired, Your Honors. Any other questions? Okay, I'll pass.
Thank you.
I'll pass thank then. Thank you.
All right, Mr. White, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I would like to point out that our larger argument as far as procedural elements is that Mr. Winterfield was not qualified and thus under 5A3, that was not satisfied, and less on the record. I do believe it is important that the record that is reviewed by the township be considered, but the larger piece is that Mr. Winterfield was not qualified to offer an opinion, and thus 5A3 was not satisfied, allowing for a final opinion under 5A4.
Well, could I hate to use this word, could I bore down on this this point? You know, with regard to the jurisdictional issue, you know, we've been just advised that the town board actually had this letter indicating that the parties had met, and they had this letter apparently about 14 days before they actually considered the borings. Why wouldn't this be sufficient to meet what you have indicated are the jurisdictional prerequisites for consideration of the boring issue?
Ultimately, it wouldn't be enough, specifically because you have three other documents that also provided that same information that would have supported that claim in the first place. Again, it's a weaker argument, I will admit that, but the larger picture there is the three documents that would have established that the parties met and the parties failed to meet resolution were not considered by the township.
But your argument was they didn't have substantial evidence to support it in the record at the time they made this finding. But now we hear that they actually had this letter that was sent to them or provided to them, it looks like about almost 14 days earlier.
It's really more of a due diligence argument at this point that they had other sources that would have supported that. And it's a smaller part of our argument as well. I do want to note that as far as the location of Ms. Thompson's 2019 soil boring, if the town is going to conclude that because they had to base their decision as to where it was taken off of a photograph, they would also need to take into consideration that Mr. Whitmire did not provide the exact distance between, or not, Mr. Whitmire would be with Matrix of Soil Boring. He did not provide the exact distance from where he took his test pits to the drain field. Now there are GPS coordinates that you could go out and figure out the exact distance, but within the record that was reviewed by the township, that exact distance was not provided to them. So that same argument of, well, how do we really know how far away the soil boring was taken would have to apply as well to Mr. Whitmire.
But you only have 2 minutes, but I mean, we often are faced with reviewing decisions made by either district courts or by town boards. And we have a very narrow standard of review. It's whether it's arbitrary or capricious or it's not supported by the record. Here we basically have a number of soil borings and the town board picked that, well, according to their own findings, they said, well, we've got two certified inspectors, two certified designers, and one professional soil scientist that have passed the SSTS in the past. I mean, how can we as a reviewing court overturn that? I mean, on the basis that it's arbitrary and capricious. It's just they picked one. They picked the soil borings that they balanced it and they made a choice. How do we overcome that? How do you overcome that, I guess?
In addition to the soil borings that they did review, there was an additional soil boring that was conducted on November 20th of 2020 that was not discussed in any capacity. That soil boring showed that the soil separations did not meet the regulation. As the township was required to review all documents that were submitted, all documents, information, and opinion that were submitted to them, they should have had a conversation of that and included that in their ultimate decision, and the township failed to do so.
I'm unclear about what that is, Mr. White. Is that one of these three documents
that would be contained within one of those three documents?
You finish. Go ahead.
The notice of noncompliance that was submitted by AT Septic that included a soil boring, and that was part of their resolution process. And if you look at the soil pits that were measured that day, it's pretty close to the locations that Mr. Whitmire would have used for his original 2020 soil pits as well. Now, those don't have matching. AT did not provide GPS coordinates, so you couldn't say specifically, but if just comparison on the maps, the general locations would have been relatively the same.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing else.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you both for your arguments and briefing here today. We will take the matter under advisement.